Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Steph was a great teammate. Steph is probably like one of the best teammates that I've had. Seeing how he prepares for a game, how he treats his teammates, how he executes his passion. And I think what the world mistakes of what they're calling drama is just the passion that he has for the sport. I don't expect anybody to be happy with losing. We're all at that height of emotions. Like, it's an emotional sport. And Steph is an emotional guy for the things that he loves, and football is one of those things. We're gonna miss him, we love him. If it was time, Brandon Bean has all those keys. Like, we don't control any of that. I was sad to see him go, but I'm happy to see him smile. He's smiling and he'll be a great player wherever he goes, and I'm just glad that we got to take a shot at it with Steph.
That was Deion Dawkins on Colin Cowherd this week on Diggs. Diggs, by the way, last night was tweeting at Dawkins, at Rasul Douglas. Douglas apparently also talked about Diggs in Buffalo and basically said the same thing that you just heard from Dawkins. And Diggs was, it was like the heart emoji and the handshake emoji. And he replied, this bleep don't get not as much media coverage, but let it be something negative about me. The internet eat it up. So, I don't know. I don't really participate or try not to participate in the, poisonous in the locker room and, locker room cancer, I'm sure has been said somewhere about it. You hear that more on, like, the ESPN shows, I feel like, about Diggs, but I feel like around here, aren't we pretty tempered about him, because the players are pretty... Allen, too, right? Like, Allen's never had a bad word to say about Diggs, at least publicly. So, and I don't know about any privately either. So, I mean, isn't this kind of accepted around here, Sal, that, like, Diggs was a great teammate? He sure got emotional, but you're not going to hear anybody say that he was, a bad influence in the locker room. At least I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. He's just a different kind of personality, right? And I think that a lot of times those can be, as Deion wrote, or actually as Rasul said, can be kind of misunderstood. I like the way Rasul Douglas put it. He said he just wants to win, and I think those players are always low-key misunderstood. There's the way to kind of you have to manifest certain things, a way that you have to kind of channel certain things. And maybe Stefan didn't, his mannerisms didn't channel it enough, or the way that he didn't stick around the locker room, you know, after losses didn't manifest itself well enough. Like, those are always things that are open books to be criticized for. There's no doubt about it. I remember watching you talk. I did not watch the did another Hard Knocks come out last night?
Yes, I haven't seen it yet, but was another one last night, yeah.
Okay, I watched episode 2 last night, actually, but still have maybe six or seven minutes to go because I had to do a radio spot, so I had to shut it off. But anyway, so I didn't get to the very end. But I did see when they had all the interviews going on at the Combine, and Malik Nabers, I think it was the one who Brian Daboll was talking to him and said, how do you handle not being involved? And then they talked, and he said, you know, you have to channel that a certain way, right? Like, you love guys who want the ball, but you have to channel that a certain way. And the while he's talking to him, I'm thinking about Stephon Diggs, right?
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Not that Diggs is necessarily... Now, of course, we have the one famous on the sidelines, hands up in the air with Josh Allen. I get that, and you could point to that, no doubt. But it wasn't like he was out in the media, you know, telling everybody he needed the ball, or anybody said that he was a distraction in the huddle because he wanted the ball. I mean, in fact, the opposite happened in the Kansas City game where Davis had the 4 touchdowns, and Diggs is like, yeah, totally cool with that. Like, yeah, even though we lost, like, this dude was eaten, so that's fine. But as he's talking to Malik Nabers, Brian Daboll, in this clip, I'm thinking, this is right. Like, this is how you want guys to be. I want the ball. I want the ball. I want to make a difference. I want to win. At some point, like, you might get to a point where you're frustrated. How does that manifest itself? And that's how things can get misunderstood sometimes.
Yeah. That clip, I want to almost... I'm not going to have time to do this. You know, maybe I can do it during the break. That clip is the most replayed Bills clip I bet they've shown on ESPN in, like, the last year and a half. You see it all the time. Of Diggs, hands up, at Allen in the Bengal game. I want to go find on that broadcast, which I can find... What was the play right before that? Because we are guessing at what he is saying there. Nobody knows what the actual words out of his mouth, Allen, are. Do we know it was even about him getting the ball? Maybe we can guess at that, but yeah, I don't know. I think that it's right to say, like, different type of guy. You know, I've made the Jimmy Butler comparison before, where you kind of have to know he's so competitive that once in a while he can't control it. And it did feel like Diggs,
that's a good way.
Especially when the seasons would end, right, that he just couldn't handle it. That's at least how it seemed from the outside.
It's a great way to describe it. I agree with you. Like, just so Rick Spielman used to be with the Vikings. He was there when Diggs was there. He's on ESPN now. I remember being on a radio show with him maybe last offseason. We had this discussion, same thing. And I said it kind of the same way you did. You said it really well right there, and I appreciate that, about how competitive he is and, like, how sometimes that doesn't manifest itself right. And Spielman's like, oh, my God, you're so right. He's like, that's what we had in Minnesota. And a lot of times he was misunderstood because of that. And it got to a point where then, of course, they wound up trading him, and just like the Bills did. Because at some point, you're like, it's not that you're itching to get rid of the guy, right? Now, this is me talking, not Spielman, but I got this sense what he was saying. Same thing you just did, Joe, which is he's so competitive that it comes out the wrong way at the wrong time sometimes, that you want to see it differently. You love the competitiveness. Now, and the way I look at it is, it gets to a point. It got to a point in Minnesota, and it got to a point in Buffalo where, look, all this is great. We love it, but we have to deal with that sometimes. We don't want to. That becomes about him. It doesn't become about the team. And I think that that wears on you as an organization. It's not that you don't like the guy. It's not that you don't like the player. Not that you think he's bad. But it wears on you. And it becomes a weight that you have to deal with and think about. And yes, I think you have to kind of walk on eggshells a little bit. And yes, I think that you have to force the ball to him sometimes because you want to win and also have them feel like they're a part of the offense. I think it's super interesting, and if you're ever into the psychology of sports, which a lot of people are, I know you are.
Yeah,
I think it's really interesting to study those kinds of those people and those kinds of things happening, which ultimately lead to breakups a lot of times.
Yeah, let's go to Zach in West Seneca. What's up, Zach?
Hey guys, good morning. I just the Diggs thing. I like the conversation because for me, if he was still the 120 plus catch and 1500 yard receiver from 2020. they keep him. Like, he stays. But I think you had a combination of, you know, they didn't get it done with him, and his production, say what you want, it fell off. I mean, they're trying to throw screens at him late. He was nowhere to be found late in the season and in those playoff games. I mean, he might as well. The end result would have been the same had he not been on the field for the Steelers game, for the Chiefs game. I mean, I didn't go into those games thinking, all right, hey, at least we got, you know, Josh and the Steph connection. It was kind of gone. Like, the elite connection was gone. I was just looking at the stats before I got on air here. But, like, yeah, he had 100 catches, but I think it was a combo of whatever little bit of drama there is, and some of it's his family, his brother, you know, posting things, and then the Stephen A. Smith stuff coming out of nowhere. I think the Bills are just so fed up with that little, like, the stuff that they could tolerate that, you know, you're looking at, what, $27 million receiver that's probably going to get, you know, 80 catches, 90 catches this year, going to force a lot of them to him, or you could just move on. You're probably going to do it next year. And then throw in the value. I thought a second-round pick, like, I really think Brandon Bean fleeced him. The way I look at it is, would they get a second-round pick? If he'd have stuck around and has 80-catch season and just under 1,000 yards, do they get a second-round pick for him this coming year? No. And I know they don't, because Houston would have kept him on that contract or maybe reworked it. But the fact that they voided him says they just look at it like, hey, we're young, we can afford him, and they're taking a shot, and they don't care that they burn a second-round pick. But, like, the Bills to get that second-round pick was huge, because that was probably their only opportunity to get, you know, such a high pick back. I mean, you look at it, they had four great seasons, and they basically swapped a one for a two. I mean, the later round picks, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody gets upset that, you know, they don't have this true number one anymore. But if they had Stephon Diggs still on this team, the current Stephon Diggs is not a true number one. He's not going to be regarded. You're going to get halfway through the season, and he's not going to be regarded as number one. Last thing I'll say is I got a side bet with a buddy, and I'm not saying one guy's better than the other, but I do believe Khalil Shakir is going to have more catches and maybe a little bit more yards than Diggs will be. And you got to remember, Diggs is probably going to be the third best option in Houston. So I think at the end, I think a year from now, this move's going to look even smarter. It's a shame, because I wish he was the 2020 or 2021 Stephon Diggs. He's just not anymore. And they weren't in an offseason where they had the ability to replace him, and there wasn't anybody out there other than, and Ayuk is still there, but, you know, I guess you can always do that down the road.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach, for the call. I think a couple things can be right, and this is why there are so many layers to why Diggs is not here anymore. And we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, Sal, that I think Zach kind of just got to it. Could you say, like Zach just did, if he was still, at the end of the year, the same player that looked like the dominant number one, one of the best receivers in football, 120 catches, that he'd still be a Buffalo Bill? I think you could say that. We don't know it, but I think you could say it. I think I said this earlier in the week, and again, we don't know, it's guesswork, but I tend to think if the Bills had not received a second-round pick as an offer, and if the best offer they had on the table was like a fifth, which is what that player on that contract usually goes for, I think he could still be a Buffalo Bill. It's kind of up to, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have... I don't want to say him around, because it does, again, imply that it is always a negative to have him around. You know, when Dawkins is in here saying he's one of the best teammates he's ever had, and how everyone watches how he works, and like, he can be a positive influence too. So I don't want to say that it's a bad thing, but you know what I mean? Like,
is it worth having that weight on you again, like I described earlier? I think that's what it is. Like, having that hanging over you that you're always thinking about. Right.
And if he's a 120 catch player still, then your answer probably is still yes. And if
but Joe,
go ahead.
Joe, I think that this really kind of goes back a year though. If you go back to the mini camp situation last year and the drama that unfolded and Sean McDermott, this feels like this was to me, they were probably going to move on from him. Even if maybe a lesser offer, but not necessarily like not for pennies, right? Not they still had to get something in return. But it feels like both sides for a year were in a mindset of we're probably going to do this. And given those circumstances, I agree. Like, I agree with the caller. And I think you said this the other day. We're driving up to Toronto for the golf outing. We haven't talked about that yet. We should, by the way.
We
were driving up to Toronto, and I was listening to you, and you and Nate were talking about, you mentioned, like, the value they got for him. When you look back now, and you see, like, the age, the money, like, they got really good value as a second-round pick.
It was an overpayment. Like, the only example, I went back 10 years, and you can do this on SpotTrack. SpotTrack, you can narrow down, like, by transaction. You could hit the trade tab, and you could do it by positions. You hit wide receiver, and then you could look at all the trades of receivers. So I went through that last week, like the last 10 years of receiver trades, and the only example that I found of a star receiver at this age on a big contract going for a second round pick was Julio Jones. Everybody else, Brandon Marshall's of the world, Amari Cooper, who was even a little bit younger, Keenan Allen this offseason, like, those guys are usually going for fourth or fifth round picks, and they got a second for Diggs, albeit a future second, but still a second.
Right, and by the way, which could really turn out to be a good second round pick, because Minnesota might not be very good. It was Minnesota's pick, not even Houston's pick, right? So that could wind up. How about this? Let's say it this way. Okay, I agree with what the caller said, which is, if he's still on the team, he's not the same player. Like, there is a question about production and the player. And I do think that the team, their actions tell you that I think they feel he's a declining player. Doesn't mean hitting a cliff, right? But downside of the career. He's been in the league 9 years, dude.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's going into his 10th year. He's over 30 years old. I'm not sitting here and going, oh my God, wash your hands of him because he's old. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is there comes a time where this might be the highest value you're ever going to get for him, which I agree with. Because I think their actions spoke to he was last year a declining player. What do I mean by their actions? How much he was on the field and how they forced him the ball. Right, it wasn't right. Like the normal Stephon Diggs we saw with Josh Allen over the previous 3 years. So I do think their actions spoke to they probably felt that about him. So yes, I think on the field, if he's still here, he's not the same number one, but he probably is the number one guy theoretically as far as talent and what you're looking at. But what if he was still on the team? What do we sound like? What do the fans sound like? What does the media sound like? We're talking about wondering and all these changes. Aren't we really wondering what that looks like as a number one receiver? Like, aren't we questioning, if Stephon Diggs is on this team right now, there are going to be people going, oh my God, there's Stephon Diggs. He's still great. He had close to 1,200 yards last year. He had 160 targets, 107 catches. But there's going to be a good segment, because this happened last year, Joe. There's going to be a good segment of us and fans going, yeah, but you know what? I don't know how, like, where he stacks up as a true number one in the NFL anymore. And if he's going to be your number one, like, what does that look like? And I think that's an interesting question if they hadn't traded him.
Right. They've had an offense that was under Brian Daboll and under Dorsey for at least year one, pretty much revolved around their number one receiver. It revolved around Allen to Diggs. Like, that was their bread and butter. And would it still have been to the same degree this year? Like, I would agree with you that he would probably lead the team in targets and catches still, but are we talking 150, 160 targets? Like, to me, I don't know how you could have looked at the end of last year and thought that, because that's when they finally were, you know, if you're someone out there who thinks for the whole time Diggs was here that, oh, they had to force him the ball all the time, like, I don't subscribe to that. I think for 3.5 years of his Bills career, there was no forcing the ball to him. He was open. He was amazing. He was worthy of almost every target he got because he was that good. But I'll give you, end of last year, like, they were throwing him the football, and he was like the least efficient receiver in football. So, you know, would they have done that again? I think they probably would have learned some lessons from that of, hey, we don't need to force him, or we don't want to force him this much work when it's not working the way we want. But, you know, that's also, it would have been interesting. It would have been different. I think the idea that the Bills were taking a bit of a step back this year at all would be quieter. I don't think there would be as much noise on that front. I think you might think, okay, here we go. The load up, you got Diggs and Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman now. Like, it's still kind of a new look receiver core with, you still got your best guy though. Davis out, Coleman in, like, and Samuel. I remember the, was it a week that we had between Curtis Samuel signing and Diggs still being on the team, where there was a week or two there where I'm was loving their receiving combo at that point in time. I loved the Samuel signing when I'm like, okay, this is your number two guy now. But if he was still here, you know, I guess we would still be as confused, wouldn't we? Or not confused, but we would still be wondering about what their offense looks like.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it just shifts from... What I guess what it is for me is, it shifts from, okay, if Diggs is here, you know that, like, he's going to be the number one guy. You're just wondering what that looks like.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of wondering there. Like, oh, what's the production? He's over 30 years old. We had this discussion last year, and it was a year earlier in his career. So you wonder what that looks like. It's not like, you know, Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, like, okay. Mm-hmm. Or even the few years with Diggs, like, okay. We know he's the number one. We know they're set, legit, bam, put that off to the side. No worry. There would be a worry. There would be a question about that if he was here.
Yeah.
Now we've transitioned from that to, do you even have a number one, right? Which is even an entirely different question, and maybe even a bigger one, and maybe even a scarier one. There's no doubt about that. But do you even have a number one? If you're not, like, what does it look like overall in the receiving core?
Right. 803-0550 is the phone number. I do also just want to point out, I've got the all 22 up from that Bills Bengals game. We referenced earlier in the segment, is it famous now? I mean, ESPN's made it famous. The Diggs clip on the sidelines of him waving his arms at Allen in the Bengal game. And if you go back to that game and find the last play that the Bills had on offense before that clip.
Let me guess. Let me guess. Was it an interception in the red zone?
No, it was not an interception. It was a fourth down play. In the red zone,
though. It was that drive, though. He didn't really see the ball that drive, and they stalled on the drive.
I watched a couple of those plays, though. I just had it running here in the background while we've been on, and I've been watching him, and his demeanor really is never off until that fourth down play, and that fourth down play. It's fourth down, Allen drops back, Diggs beats his man up the field. The safety collapsed in because he thought Allen was going to the middle. So Diggs has got a touchdown. Like, if Allen throws the ball out in front of him, like, Diggs has a couple yards, like, he's got a touchdown there. And he makes the same type of gesture after Allen throws kind of a jump ball to Gabe Davis because things broke down. And there's Diggs kind of waving his arms in the air, almost like, hey, just put it out there. And this is another where, like, context could be important. I'm guessing at the context even, but that clip is so famous. Is it possible Diggs went back, watched the film, saw Allen was under pressure, and then went, yo, my bad? Maybe not. Maybe he was so heated that he didn't do it that day. Maybe he did in the future. Maybe he never did. I don't know. But, you know, that's one of those where it's heat of the moment. You're losing by 17 in a playoff game. You know your season's about to end. And I'm just never going to use that clip as evidence of some cancerous problem that the Bills had with his personality. Sure, he might have been a lot to take. But I got Dawkins out here. I got Rasul Douglas out here. I got Allen out here consistently saying, like, sure, he was different in that way, but it was a positive influence, you know, as well. So that was the play, though, right before. It was, he beat his man clean, and Allen was a little bit under pressure, had to kind of run around, and then threw just a ball to Gabe Davis that was going to get knocked down. 803-0550 is the phone number. The idea I have to do later in the show. First snap draft. How are the Bills going to line up their first snap on offense of the season? You can call in with how what you think, too. 803-0550. How are they going to line up? How do you want them to line up, too? Well, I want to...
Well, let me go and see what defense Arizona runs. Here it is. I'm going back. Here we go.
Sal doing way too much homework for this exercise. We'll get to that. Also, Patrick Mahomes had a weird thing to say about their season last year, and I've got some trivia relating to Allen and Mahomes in the playoffs in the last couple of years. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. We have Matt Parrino coming up at 8 o'clock. Preview some of the biggest headlines that we're looking forward to coming up in training camp, which is 1 week from today. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Even though we won the Super Bowl last year, we felt like we didn't play our best football, especially offensively. So it's our goal to be better that way. I mean, we have to come with that mentality every single day. Obviously, the end result was awesome, but I mean, I think a lot of us still have a weird feeling in our mouth because, I mean, we really didn't play football the way we wanted to play all year long, and it wasn't fun. I mean, every single week having to try to just continue to get better and better and results not paying off the way you wanted to, I mean, it wasn't a lot of fun. We have a lot of those same guys back, and they know how that felt, and so we're going to try to prepare ourselves better this year so that we can play better throughout the season and obviously try to end with the same result.
Patrick Mahomes arriving at Chiefs training camp, which I guess they're already reporting. Is that because they're the Super Bowl champion or something?
Chiefs are reporting. No. Because they start on Thursday. They start on Thursday night, yes. Okay. So I would think that... who they play in that opening Thursday night game?
Oh, the right. They play the Ravens. 50-50 days
from
today.
Yeah, so they should be reporting as well.
Okay. It's not quite literally him saying we didn't have fun winning the Super Bowl last year, but I did see that clip, that quote, making the rounds yesterday. Mahomes saying, yeah, we won the Super Bowl, but last year, you know, wasn't as fun as it could have been. Which we saw, we knew, right? We all knew that they were not as perfect during the regular season and even, you know, at times offensively in the playoffs as they've been in the past. I mean, we all watched Patrick Mahomes lose his bloody mind after the Bills regular season game. I had never seen him lose his mind like that after the offensive offside by Kadarius Toney.
Oh, I remember that one.
That was I like that.
That was just such a what a few days that was.
That was afterwards. That was a great few days. It was a good few days too because you want him to be the villain. He constantly beats the Bills in the playoffs. He has three rings, right? And he's not that hateable for me personally. Maybe for others he is. Maybe all you need, if you're some Bills fans, all you need is, you know, just them beating them in the playoffs. But Mahomes is not that hateable to me. But that week, it was like, dude, what? You're just being a little baby about this. Holy cow, your guy was a yard offside. Like, I remember seeing different people break it down that by what the standards usually are of the officiating crew, like, he was way over the line. So, that week was good. They lost to the Raiders on Christmas, right? The Raiders had a couple of defensive touchdowns, and the Chiefs lost that football game. Are they going to be better this year? Should I assume, Sal, that the Chiefs are going to be better this year, knowing they won the Super Bowl? So, you know, what's better than that? But I think they could be better.
What, like, big picture better at the end of the year as far as record? I guess. I mean, yeah, what'd they finish last year? 11-6? Could you see them going 12-5, 13 wins? Yes, absolutely. They should be more consistent and play at a better week-to-week level, though. Last year, they had a lot of struggles as the year. Like, I actually agree with him, what he's saying there. Like, it felt like a grind for them on a week-to-week basis. Now, they lost that opening game, remember, to Detroit on Thursday night.
Yep.
Then they roll off 6 in a row, okay, and they're 6-1, and everybody's feeling good. After that, it was uneven, Joe. Ready? Lose, win, lose, win, lose, lose. Win, lose.
Yeah.
They lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of their next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They lost 5 out of 8 after going 6-1. Like, it feels like it was a grind for them.
Yeah. 5 out of 8. And they look after their bye week. They lost 3 of 4 after their bye week. And then there was that Raider loss baked in there again. That final game of the season, like, it wasn't even, that was Blaine Gabbert, right? And who for the Chargers, Easton Stick. So that game was meaningless at the end anyway. Yeah, they kind of limped into the playoffs a little bit.
Yeah, the question. Yeah, I mean, they faced Miami in that frigid game, and there were even questions like, "Ooh, you know what could happen here, and who do you want to win?" I think, though, that a lot of this question has to come down to what the division around them is too, and it just has not been good. I mean, if there's anything that comes out of the AFC West last year, maybe the Chiefs don't even win the division. But the Raiders finishing second, tied with the Broncos, they weren't even 500, neither team.
Right.
Like, the second place team in the West was 8-9. If there's anything, now the Raiders did beat them on Christmas last year. Remember that, right?
Yep.
But
yep.
If in the Broncos had, they were okay for a hot minute. Remember, they come into Buffalo, they beat them, but they were rolling for a little while. The Broncos, remember their season real quickly here? Broncos,
yeah,
they were 6-5 at one point, like, in looking like, okay, like, they were 1, 2, 3. They had a 5-game winning streak. Bills were in there. They were 6-5. And you're like, okay, like, this is a team that's moving. They beat, and think about this for the Broncos. They were 2-5.
1-5.
Then they go and beat.
They were 1-5 before
that. They're 1-5. Thank you. Yeah. Then they go and beat the Packers, the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Browns in like a 6-7 week stretch.
Yeah.
Okay. But then if the wheels fall off them, and my point is, if they get anything to, and the back end of the year from the Broncos or the Raiders can be better, maybe the season turns out even a little different from the Chiefs, but they had no competition in that division.
Is it right to say, and I'm going to ask this question without even really knowing if it's right, is it right to say that one of the biggest reasons the Chiefs have had the one seed or been the higher seed than the Bills so often is the Bills have had a more consistent challenger in the division? It's rotated, right? Like, it was New England that first year that pushed the Bills right to December. And then last year it was the Dolphins. I guess they've never had more than one
though. I don't know if it is right because the Bills have still really handled their business in the division.
Yeah.
Even though the Dolphins might be there, the Bills have beaten them. They've lost the one game, right? I mean,
and New England, they only lost the one game, really. Well, I guess they lost last year, too.
I mean,
but
now, they did lose to the Jets last year for a game, but I bet if you go back, the Chiefs have had that, too. They lost to the Raiders in a game last year, right? Like, I bet you there's a few games here there. So, yeah, I think overall, big picture, like, the East has been better than the West outside of the two top teams.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the Chiefs are necessarily just having this one seed because of that. I think the Bills have still kind of, it wasn't like the Bills were getting losses from those teams more often, I guess. I'd have to go back and compare, but it doesn't feel like the Bills were really, oh my God, struggling. And the Chiefs did beat them that one year, like, or the, I'm sorry, the Patriots, they come here in the wind, right? That kind of game.
Yeah.
it's probably overall correct that that has helped them, but they're still the Chiefs and they've still been great. I don't think it really truly mattered overall.
Yeah. They might play their division a little better, right? The Bills have some trouble with the Jets recently, but otherwise, right, like you're right. They own Miami. They for the most part own New England, save a couple of stupid losses that you had mixed in the last couple of years. If you look at, here you go. So like the last 4 years, the Chiefs' record in their division the last 4 years is 19-5. So they're 19-5 against their own division. And the Bills' record in their division, let's think. There's two losses to New England
I'm going to guess 7 losses.
7 losses? No, 19-5. 19-5.
Wow.
That's the exact same.
See, I don't. Yeah, like I don't think it really matters.
Okay. Yep.
No, it has mattered.
No, you're right. It hasn't. Man, that makes it even crazier, doesn't it? The Bills have beaten them head to head 3 straight years. The division record is largely the same, and you know, last year was standing. Last year, the Bills were the higher seed, but all those other years that Kansas City was higher is kind of
wild.
I do think, Joe,
there's just two different discussions now. You said 1 seed and higher than the Bills.
Yeah.
I do think the path to a division title for the Bills has been a little different because it feels to me, and I could be totally wrong on this, that Miami, New England, the Jets have been a little better overall outside of those games than the teams in the West have been, if that makes sense.
I think that's probably right. You know,
so they've kind of kept pace a little more, even independent of their games against the Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Before looking it up, I would bet that that's probably accurate. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Morning, Sal. Morning, Joe. How are you guys doing today?
Morning. Good.
Good. Good morning.
So I have a question. I'm a little late to the show, but I just want to talk about something really quick regarding Ayuk. I'm not in the camp that says we need to trade for Ayuk, but what I'm saying is if Diggs trade never happened, Brandon Bean was planning to have three consecutive years of cap hits for in between 25 and 27 million for a receiver in his 30s. So what I'm trying to say is, do you think, whether it's Ayuk or not, that the Bills will dish out big money to a big name receiver in the near future, not necessarily before camp, because I don't envision that, but maybe off season, especially because the first 2 years of the contract would the cap hits would be fairly low and the real money wouldn't kick in until 2026. And again, not necessarily Ayuk, but I don't think if Diggs was on the team or not, it would have impacted this year's offseason extensions of Dawkins and Taron Johnson. So just curious your thoughts on whether it's Ayuk or not. Could Buffalo in the near future see another big signing at receiver? Because if the Diggs trade never happened, you know, that money was being allocated for Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm. Let me answer this, and then you can say what you think, Joe. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, they certainly can do it. There's always a way to do it. And if they get to the end of this year and say, that just didn't work the way we planned it, or maybe there's already a thought to say, hey, you know, we're going to wait a year and do it, they can add a receiver, and they can structure the money. I mean, you could do what you did this year. I mean, next year you could move off from Von Miller. You could save some money there, whatever it might be. I mean, there's got to be guys, right? But they can certainly do it. The question, I think, Mike, really comes into, do they want to do that? I think part of what you saw from the Stephon Diggs trade is all the things we talked about earlier, which is, okay, there's age, there's production, there's the stuff that surrounds him, like what you want to deal with, not deal with, what you're willing to tolerate, and how much that affects the organization. The other part of it, Joe, is, and I've said this many times this offseason, looking at the landscape, I just don't think Brandon Bean wants to be in the $30 million per year range marketplace for a wide receiver. The question necessarily isn't can they do it, it's if they want to do it, to me.
Yeah. And that will, I think, be very... That will be tested, right? That will be tested this year. That's kind of why, you know, like we're at this stage where we're 1 week away from training camp. And even if the Niners finally said, okay, we'll play ball, like we'll open up trade discussions here. Like how much would the Bills want to be in on that? Even if the price is modest, because do they want to see what this looks like? Do they want to see, hey, what does our offense look like when we are a little more, you know, We're a little cheaper at the position. We don't have that stud number one that has the gravity of the offense revolving around him. What do we look like when we go lower level free agent, second round rookie, couple of, you know, veteran guys that have done it here and there? What happens with this quarterback in this offense when we do that? I think they might want to see what it looks like before deciding, okay, now if we've got to dip back into the expensive receiver market, now we'll dip back in. I could see them in a year getting there, though, but it would probably have to play out this season that, you know, things don't work out the way they want for them to arrive at the point of, okay, yeah, let's go trade for a Brandon Ayuk and pay him $30 million a year. All right, let's go pay T. Higgins $30 million a year in free agency. Let's go make a move like that. I think I'm at a point in this offseason where I wouldn't mind if they still did it, but I'm not betting that they'll make a move like that until at least next offseason.
Probably right. Look, real quick, there's a difference between would they go out and sign somebody to a massive deal, or would they even trade and then give someone a massive deal? You're talking about assets and money? That's different than just money, right?
Yeah. No, it definitely is. Time out here. When we come back, I got some instant trivia for Sal. There's been some Josh Allen slander this week a little bit. This Jeremy Fowler series of top 10 at each position, executives, scouts, and others. A little bit on Allen when we come back. I've got some trivia relating to him in the playoffs when we come back. Matt Parrino coming up at 8 o'clock also. This is WGR. Matt Parrino is coming up. We'll preview training camp with him coming up next. Instant trivia. So earlier in the week, Jeremy Fowler and the survey, they were talking about on ESPN, and they talked about on the Talking Head shows too, like turnovers has cost Josh Allen in the postseason, which obviously is false because he doesn't turn the ball over in the offseason. Exactly. So I was looking through Allen's numbers, though, in the playoffs and how good they've been since 2019. So there are five quarterbacks in the last 5 years, so 2019 to now. So I guess that's four seasons worth, right? Four seasons. No, that's five. Five seasons. Five playoff seasons. Five quarterbacks have 10 or more touchdown passes. And the reason I ask is there's at least one surprising name on here. I think you could probably get the other four. And maybe the fifth. I would be impressed if you got the fifth.
Okay, so what? Give me what I'm guessing. Again.
So you're guessing in the last 5 years, there are five quarterbacks that have thrown 10 playoff touchdowns. Who are they?
Okay, last 5 years. Five quarterbacks. The only thing I'm going to do here is I got to pull the teams. So I'm just going to look at the teams. All right, so. Well, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes has 38. 38 touchdowns, 8 picks for Mahomes.
Josh Allen.
He's second. 21 touchdowns, 4 picks.
I mean, I got to say Lamar because of how much he's played. Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson has 4 passing touchdowns. How about that, by the way?
So he is not on this list.
No, he's not even. He is not even halfway.
And how many years are we going back? I'm sorry.
2019. So 5 years. The 2019.
Aaron Rodgers.
The 2019 season also. So, you know, that would be the
Aaron Rodgers
playoffs. Aaron Rodgers does not. He has 9.
Wow. Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford has 11 touchdowns, 3 picks in 5 games, 5 playoff games in that time span. Stafford is correct.
Hold on. Man, do I want to say Burrow? I'll go Burrow.
Burrow has 9. He does not qualify.
Man, I am blowing this badly. Brady.
Brady. There you go. Third, Brady. 15 touchdowns, 6 picks. And 5 is pretty hard. I was surprised to see this guy in 4 playoff games has 10 passing touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
Dak.
Not Dak. Dak has 9.
Jalen Hurts.
Not Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has 5.
Ooh.
I don't know if we have enough time to do this. I don't think we do. But I almost want to see how many quarterbacks Sal would go through before getting to this guy.
That's Geno Smith.
Geno Smith is incorrect. I don't see Geno Smith on here. You got Joe Mixon throwing a touchdown in that time span. I've got John Brown throwing
darts at this point. I don't know.
He was in the playoffs last year.
In the playoffs last year. Well, it's not C.J. Stroud. He was a rookie.
Correct.
Deshaun Watson.
Not Deshaun Watson.
Okay. I mean, would Tua be on this list? I don't think he's played enough.
No, he's only... Was that his first playoff game? That was his first playoff game, wasn't
Jared
it?
Jared Goff.
Not Jared Goff. this is Purdy. It's tough, like I said. Not Purdy. Purdy has six games.
I give up. I have all no idea. Yeah, I stumped just him. Get to Matt Parrino because I suck at this.
No,
guess.
You're good. Stump the Sal should be the new game.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
10 touchdowns,
it.
3 picks.
Wouldn't have thought of it.
No, me neither, right? Like, if you would ask me this question, I would have never got to Mayfield, ever. Real quick. Looked at his game log. So last year he had a few. He also had that 2020 playoff run with Cleveland. I started getting mad, Sal, because I reminded myself that the Browns had an entire half against the Chiefs in the playoffs without Patrick Mahomes in the game and couldn't beat him. Couldn't beat him. The Bills wouldn't have had to play Kansas City that year. And then the Jaguars had a chance to beat the Chiefs with Mahomes off the field. And both of those teams, Jacksonville and Cleveland, allowed Chad Henne to go down the field and score on them. Both of those two teams did that.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Cleveland. Thanks, Jacksonville. Thanks for the help. Time out here. Matt Parrino when we come back here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Matt Parrino is coming up. We'll preview training camp with him coming up next. Instant trivia. So earlier in the week, Jeremy Fowler and the survey, they were talking about on ESPN, and they talked about on the Talking Head shows too, like turnovers has cost Josh Allen in the postseason, which obviously is false because he doesn't turn the ball over in the offseason. Exactly. So I was looking through Allen's numbers though in the playoffs and how good they've been since 2019. Sal, there are five quarterbacks in the last 5 years. So 2019 to now. So I guess that's four seasons worth, right? Four seasons. No, that's five. Five seasons. Five playoff seasons. Five quarterbacks have 10 or more touchdown passes. And the reason I ask is there's at least one surprising name on here. I think you could probably get the other four. And maybe the fifth. I would be impressed if you got the fifth.
Okay, so what? Give me what I'm guessing again.
So you're guessing in the last 5 years, there are five quarterbacks that have thrown 10 playoff touchdowns. Who are they?
Okay, last 5 years, five quarterbacks. I'm just going to, the only thing I'm going to do here is I got to pull up the teams. So I'm just going to look at the teams. All right, so. Well, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes has 38. 38 touchdowns, 8 picks for Mahomes.
Josh Allen.
He's second. 21 touchdowns, 4 picks.
I mean, I got to say Lamar because of how much he's played. Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson has 4 passing touchdowns. How about that, by the way?
So he is not on this list.
No, he is not even halfway.
And how many years are we going back? I'm sorry?
2019. So 5 years. The 2019,
Aaron Rodgers.
The 2019 season also. So, you know, that would be the 2020 playoffs. Aaron Rodgers does not. He has 9.
Wow. Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford has 11 touchdowns, 3 picks in 5 games. 5 playoff games in that time span. Yep. Stafford is correct.
Hold on. Man, do I want to say Burrow? I'll go Burrow.
Burrow has 9. He does not qualify.
Man, I am blowing this badly.
Brady. Brady. There you go. Third, Brady, 15 touchdowns, 6 picks. And 5 is pretty hard. I was surprised to see this guy in 4 playoff games has 10 passing touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
Dak.
Not Dak. Dak has 9.
Jalen Hurts.
Not Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has 5.
Ooh.
I don't know if we have enough time to do this. I don't think we do. But I almost want to see how many quarterbacks Sal would go through before getting to this guy.
That's Geno Smith.
Geno Smith is incorrect. I don't see Geno Smith on here. I've got Joe Mixon throwing a touchdown in that time span. I've got John Brown
Throwing darts at this point. I don't know.
He was in the playoffs last year.
In the playoffs last year. Well, it's not CJ Stroud. He was a rookie.
Correct.
Deshaun Watson.
Not Deshaun Watson.
Okay. I mean, would Tua be on this list? I don't think he's played enough.
No, he's only... Was that his first playoff game? That was his first playoff game.
Jared Goff.
Not Jared Goff. this is Purdy. It's tough, like I said. Not Purdy. Purdy has 6 and 6
just,
games.
I give up. I have no idea. Yeah,
I stumped
him. Get to Matt Parrino because I suck at this.
No,
guess.
You're good. Stump the Sal should be the new game.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
10 touchdowns,
it.
3 picks.
Wouldn't have thought of it.
No, me neither, right? Like, if you would ask me this question, I would have never got to Mayfield, ever. So I real quick looked at his game log. So last year he had a few. He also had that 2020 playoff run with Cleveland. I started getting mad, Sal, because I reminded myself that the Browns had an entire half against the Chiefs in the playoffs without Patrick Mahomes in the game and couldn't beat him. Couldn't beat him. The Bills would have had to play Kansas City that year. And then the Jaguars had a chance to beat the Chiefs with Mahomes off the field. And both of those teams, Jacksonville and Cleveland, allowed Chad Henne to go down the field and score on them. Both of those two teams did that.
Oh, my God.
Thanks. Thanks, Cleveland. Thanks, Jacksonville. Thanks for the help. Time out here. Matt Parrino when we come back here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.